I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Our current president has failed in his most basic duty to the nation. He's failed to protect us. He's failed to protect America. And my fellow Americans, that is unforgivable. As president, I'll make you a promise. I'll protect America. I will defend us from every attack, seen and unseen, without exception, every time.
Paid for by Biden for president.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, 1-2-1-2. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We back again. Good to be back. Good to be in your ear canal. You know, still in the crib. But good to have y'all listening. Shout out to all the listeners, you know, old and new. Appreciate you. Appreciate your attention and your commitment. You know. You know, I do. I appreciate when I get the, you know, we get the messages and the DMs and the interaction, the engagement, man, reminds you that you're not just talking into a fucking void like a madman.
Yeah, no doubt.
How you doing, bro?
Doing pretty good, man. Chilling out, you know what I'm saying? Enjoying the ride. Just walked in, jumped on the cast. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
There you go. Very busy man. You ain't busy?
I'm busy, but you know what I'm saying? You know when people say that, David, it's like.
Nah, I ain't trying to be shady. I'm being real tall. I'm giving you props.
Very busy man. Like you ain't answering the call or some shit.
Hard to get in touch with.
Don't forget about the regular people, you know.
Yeah, nah, I ain't hitting you with the passive aggressive shade. That was real. That was real props. Yeah, I know. That's it. Oh, big man, huh? Big man. I see you. I see you.
Like back in the day, they used to be like, "Big money, let me hold something." Nah, you know what I'm saying? I see you shining out there. Mm. You're like, man.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
Nah, it's busy. It's definitely busy, but you know, it's to be expected. Is what you ask for. So you know, the good thing is, you know, I'm busy, but not out. You know what I'm saying? Out and about busy. You know what I mean? Like in the world. So
right.
Still tiptoeing back into the world, but the work part is definitely jumped. You know what I mean? And so. But, you know, I like it because, you know, the more you do, the more you can do, you know?
Yeah, that's real talk.
You know?
Yeah, I hear that. I'm still tiptoeing as far as the real world go, and I feel like patience is getting thin amongst people that I know. Like, like, you know, there's a lot. I seem to be the reminder that there's a pandemic.
Right.
You know, people are like, "Yo, so what's crack? You coming out? You gonna come to this?" I'm like, "Nah, I don't think that's gonna happen." Oh, here you go. You know what I mean? Here you go trying to stay alive. Hell yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. You know, it got me second guessing and questioning, like, well, maybe I should be out there, but nah. You know. Shit is on the rise again. Certain places.
Yeah, it is. You know. It is. So you don't wanna be the one to pull that. Get your number called.
You know, not Rona the sequel. Right. You know what I'm saying? You don't want the sequel, Rona. That shit might be worse.
You know what I mean?
Oh, shit.
But shit, man, speaking of being the representative of the pandemic quarantine.
Yeah.
Somebody posted a picture of your MTV joint.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you had an afro and a soulful beard like a Teddy Pendergrass joint.
Yeah, I've been woofing. I've been out here whooping, nigga, looking like I live in the woods.
I was like, it was crazy because I didn't realize that I haven't seen you since before this shit started.
Right. Yeah, nah, it's been a minute, man. And it's funny, man. I was going back and forth about that shit, you know, because I did two things on camera this pandemic. I did the khaki is not leather where I had a hat on, but then I did the Geico, well, the quarantine 2020 special, and I was like, man, I was on some shit, man. I was on like low key, not low key. I don't put no modifier on it, but it was a bit of a political statement, you know, and it might have been more for me. It was more about freeing myself.
Okay.
Because, you know, because there's somebody that's been on camera, especially somebody like myself with a low hairline. You know what I mean? My hairline is low, so it's in the conversation. You know what I mean? So I typically like to have my shit, you know, lined up. You know, that's a hood anxiety. You know what I mean? Right. You out in the world with no lineup, it's like, whoo-wee, you know? But I was like, man, fuck that, man. This is a pandemic one. But then niggas can let it rock. There's a freedom to it. Like, you know, you don't always have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, let the people see you in as many states as you are, so that you can really exist in any state that you want to be. You know what I mean? So there was some thought behind it, but it was tough. You know, it was tough to, you know, like, you know, because it ain't always understood. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
believe me, I understand.
right. You was out there trailblazing for a while with the you know,
with the Wolf Gang,
with the Wolf Gang. You know what I mean? But even you know what I'm saying, it's the artiste. You know what I'm saying? Like, you had the artiste, but
like you said, man, everybody don't understand that shit. Especially
not at all.
Once you leave Brooklyn.
That's for sure. That's for sure. They might not be as progressive in other markets.
Nah, other boroughs. You know what I'm saying? You go to Harlem, nigga, be like, hey. Go to Queens. Definitely. It's an outlier.
Queens is like, whoa. Like, call the police. This nigga here. Niggas want to know what. If you got your shit too low, niggas want to know the status. They want to know what you about to do. What's the plans? Mm-hmm. They're like, yo, so what's up? What you about to dread that shit? You getting braids? Like, they want to know what's next. Yeah, man. Shit.
The Queens, boy, they start, you know what I'm saying, reaching for their guns and holding their purses and shit. Yeah. Like, wait a minute now.
He ain't from around here.
We don't do that shit out here.
Not here. That is hilarious, man. Shout out to Queens. Oh man, but yeah, man, yeah, I did that. I was in the mix, did the quarantine code. It was, you know, it was cool to do. Shout out to anybody that watched it and hit me up, you know. Yeah, that was fun. What else, man? What I've been doing this?
Before we move on, go ahead.
It seems
like, you know what I'm saying, with that, you look like, you know, you're free. But also, like, when you see lineup cats come out like that, like, they be in getting ready for a role, it seems like you should do something with that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Play something or do a character or something while you got it and while you free to do it. You know what I'm saying? When you ain't got to use a wig. You could, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got your own thing cracking.
Right. I was definitely saying, yeah, I'm definitely... I'm gonna do a remake of Roots. You know what I'm saying? Like the 2020 version of Roots or some shit like that. I actually lined myself up just recently, so it ain't all the way as organic as it was. But
I definitely took quite a few fro's. You got a classic fro. Like I said,
yeah.
When I saw it on Twitter, first thing I could say is you look soulful. Like,
I saw cats, that.
You know what I'm saying? With your shirt buttoned down to your under your chest and shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Taco meat.
Yeah. Right. With a nugget ring.
Ring and a medallion on your chain and shit.
Yeah. Brown liquor music.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And then as you get ready to cut it down, you look at me planning your
giving me the playbook.
Your statement.
my freedom papers. This is what you need to do. Go north.
No, like, once you do get ready to say you want to cut it down, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You still got the full ass beard. Like, you know what I'm saying? You could rock that for a whole nother look.
Yeah, man. This is the most my beard has ever connected in 42 years, bro. This it took me all this time for this shit to, and it's still some sparse spots if you get up on it. You know what I mean? But this is the most it's ever. So I've been really into that. I'm trying to figure it out, trying to see what's gonna happen with it. But yeah, man, it's like my beard got an upstairs and a downstairs. You know what I'm saying? Like it's very interesting. But yeah, man, I'm out here. I'm out here,
the,
man.
The serious look. You know, you get that right. full beard, boy. Mm-hmm. Become serious.
Dramatic actor. A thespian. Right. Yeah.
No doubt.
Oh, shit, that's man. All, man.
I'm just yeah. Just nah, I can championing from the sideline as a...
Thank you.
As a Wolfgang member myself.
I appreciate it, man. I got a homie of my, shout out to my man D. He would periodically FaceTime me just to laugh. He would just hit me on the face. I'm like, ha ha! I'm like, nigga, the fuck out of here. That's the type of support I got in the other side of my friend group. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, man. Oh shit. So I appreciate the support. Oh, man. So, yeah, dude. Anyway, dog. Oh, shit. What's going on? Well, what I ask you, what's going on? You out there today? Hey, what's the weather like out there?
Oh, man. It's trying to verge on to hoodie season. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So, you know, you'll get a good, you know, 50-something in the night. Right. And then it'll hit 70 in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's nice weather. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's nice coming into fall weather. I was actually thinking about that today. With the first time I ever came to Atlanta as a grown person, I came as a kid a couple of times, and it was like super brick. It was the coldest I had ever felt coming from a kid from Miami coming to Atlanta in the dead of winter. That's the first time I ever heard the term the Hawk. Ooh, the Hawk. You know what I'm saying? And it fucked me up. It was a very traumatic experience. But that wasn't about to talk about that. I was talking about the first time I came as an adult. My roommate was from college. My roommate was from Atlanta, and so came home with him for Thanksgiving, and it was this kind of weather. It was like wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. It was just, you know what I'm saying. And it was a great ass time. But for me, like I said, a Miami boy, it was cold because it was, you know, it might have been, you know, 60 degrees at night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was like, shit, it's cold, but I like it. You know what I'm saying? So it's that weather. And it made me think of that. You know what I mean? And when you think about that era of Atlanta when it was real, real, real black. I'm talking about black. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't as gentrified as it is now. It just reminded me of like, oh, that's the Hotlanta era. You know what I'm saying? Where it was going down. Pre-Freak Nick, but you know what I'm saying? Definitely post prime time and got down Dominique Wilkins. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that era. So
it
just put me in that mindset today. When I walked outside, I was like, damn, it's that same weather that it felt then. And it was, you know, like I said, it was always a good time coming through here. You know what I mean? Like they got the best brand on black good times. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In my life.
For a while now. Yeah, they holding the crown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wakanda.
So it's that kind of weather. But you know what I'm saying? The best time I like Atlanta is when it's really fall and the leaves start turning. Because there's a lot of trees out this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, like, you look out, you know what I'm saying? If you up high and you look out, like, you see all these trees, like, it ain't even no buildings down there. But there's houses and shit under there, but the tree canopy is thick. And when the weather turns and the leaves start to turn, all of the fall colors, that shit is a beautiful sight.
Right. So, did you take your leave turn drive? I know you wanted to take a drive in, I think, Lake Lanier or something like that. Go see the leaves turning. Did you?
Yeah, well, the leaves ain't turned yet, and I ain't got my tag yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming home actually this weekend. And it's my birthday, so I'm gonna be home for a stretch, and then I'm, you know, get my tags and all that, get my paperwork right for my tags, and then so when I get back upon my return, then, you know what I'm saying, we doing. I'm still taking laps around the parking garage right now.
Yeah, I can dig it.
Don't judge me. I was very tempted to take it out in the streets early one morning, but I really didn't feel like, you know, getting pulled over about nothing.
Plus, you're getting love in the parking garage. You know what I mean? So that as long as you're getting love, it's love. You know?
Love is love. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let the love shine. You know, oh, man. What you going to do for your birthday?
Ah, man, I'm kicking with the fam. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure what my wife has planned, but something. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Definitely just going to unwind and be at the crib with the kids and stuff. So
right.
That's going to be a gift in itself. Probably treat myself to something nice. Don't know what that's going to be yet, but definitely start to treat myself something nice on my own birthday, you know? That's a concept that I've thought about, but I've never really executed on. So I execute
self-care.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Big something for myself that was gonna make me feel like, oh, I did this year, even though it was a quarantine.
You shit, nigga. You get older in the pandemic, I think you should get a plaque from the CDC.
You know what I mean?
Like, for real. that's real shit. But I'm not gonna say. Speaking of Atlanta, the first time I went to Atlanta as a, not even an adult, but as getting old, as a high school senior, I went on a college visit. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that weather, I guess I must have went, I think I must have went during spring break or something. And if I'm not mistaken, spring break might be around March or some shit like that. So it's still kind of cold in New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to Atlanta, you know, and I had a nice chocolate butter soft leather. That shit was butter soft. Mm-hmm. To this day, I remember that shit. That was like, you know how you got your go-to? You're like, nigga, I'm going to Atlanta. Watch, I'm about to kill him with this butter soft. Mm-hmm. And I go down there. I go to Atlanta with the butter soft leather. I'm walking down the promenade, and that heat was beating down on the kid. I ain't take it off yet. I think I thugged it all the way out, but I definitely looked like I was from out of town, because there was people driving through with their tops down in a convertible. It was a whole thing. I do remember that even though it was only a few months before I went to school down there, all of these students looked way older than me. They looked like adults. Like, they looked like they were living as adults. Like, they were grown motherfuckers out there pushing dope whips. Like, the women were grown, you know what I mean? Like, cats' beards was connected, you know, like, it was a thing. And yeah, man, I definitely remember, just as you were saying, it was a moment, a bit of a traumatic moment. I had it in the inverse. I was a little too overprepared for the Hawk. I was coming from the Hawk, and I came down there, and that Atlanta Hawk wasn't fucking with that New York Hawk. I looked a little overdressed for the occasion. But shout out to Atlanta, man. Shout out to Atlanta. I seen a video of Mulatto, the female MC of Mulatto, who's on the freshman, XXL freshman class cover. Mm-hmm. Who has a curious MC name, also known as Big Lotto. Mulatto, maybe she tried to reclaim it. I don't know what it is, but she was rocking. She was doing the show, and that show looked like there was no quarantine at all.
It was no pandemic in that show. But that thing was in Alabama.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was jam-packed.
Yeah, I could see.
I could see the droplets in the air. I could see that shit from where I was at. I was like, damn, these motherfuckers, they got herd immunity in that down there. I guess that's what's going on. But, you know, shout out to Big Lotto in the coronavirus.
Big Lotto.
That's what she called herself, Big Lotto.
Oh, shit,
man. What else is going on, dude? This week, man, I've been cooking a bunch. I've been cooking a bunch, and I've been... Well, a couple things happened. I got on some Hypebeast shit. Mm-hmm. I went on some Hypebeast shit. I went to McDonald's, got the Travis Scott meal. Like a fucking Hypebeast.
I did too. Why you bullshit?
Okay. Straight up. Okay,
but I got fleeced though. You know what I'm saying?
What? They hit you for more than the $6?
They ain't give me the box.
What box?
I thought it was supposed to come in a little Happy Meal type of box that they reselling out there and then calling that shit a clutch.
I saw that. I think that's some shit you buy on the merch. They put it in a regular bag.
Okay. I was about to cause a scene. I was like, hey, man, what happened to the box?
Everybody's my clutch. Down.
They looking like, right. What box? I'm like, this shit supposed to come with a box. I don't even want fucking food.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what you're talking about, sir. Yeah,
that shit come with bacon and all that shit. I tried to tell them no bacon. They still put the bacon on there. I ain't even eat the shit.
Nah, you just copped it to support or just where you was trying to get that box to flip.
I thought I was going to get the box, man. I saw the box on eBay going for $60. I was like, well, shit.
I'm about to get paid. I am. Yeah. He's definitely go ahead.
I went to a little offbeat McDonald's like, shit, I'm about to trick their ass, get those where they ain't think about this shit.
Right.
Joke's on me, Jack. Mm-hmm. That's when you ain't no real Hypebeast. You don't know shit.
Yeah, you ain't do the knowledge. Oh, man. Yeah, so I went and copped that. I copped that in some, I wanted to try their little spicy nuggets. And it was McDonald's. Saying at the end of the day, shit was McDonald's like a motherfucker. Shit was super regular. You know, it was bacon on a quarter pounder. You know, whatever. It was a Sprite. I don't really drink soda. I haven't drank soda in a minute, so that shit felt like hard liquor. I ain't even finished that shit. The fries were amazing. You know, it's McDonald's. The spicy nuggets was not good at all. They ain't fucking with Wendy's spicy nuggets. Mm-hmm. But I felt so bad. I drove further up. I was just on a drive. I drove further up and I looked to my right and I just seen this big ass field with this huge track. I just pulled my car over and I did about 3 laps on that track. Actually, 2. Let me not exaggerate.
3
I
laps did 2 doing what?
Just no walking, nigga. Power walking. Oh. I ain't run. I didn't run, but I definitely felt like I had to.
Yeah. Well, how was your power walk, dog? Was your power walk?
My power walk was powerful.
Like with your elbows up, like the old ladies be doing.
No. I didn't go.
You had your regular pimp stride.
Yeah, fast. I was just walking. If I had a place to be, I had a place to be, but not really. I was walking with conviction. I was trying to walk some of that remorse off. I couldn't get the calories off, but that remorse, I was like, let me go there to do something physical real quick. So I walked around that track a couple times. It was a big ass track too, so I felt good. It was like each way around was like a mile. So I did a good 2 miles. And I felt good, man. I've been trying to be good on my steps. I've been out in the world walking and shit. I actually just came back from that track earlier today, same track, went and did that again. But and soon I think I'm gonna run it, or at least attempt to run it. But you know, you gotta crawl before you walk and walk before you run. So I'm at the run stage. But did that, cooking. I finally I did a couple classes at the YouTube Culinary Institute. And I found out, I got some stuff from Facebook. I got a recipe for baked macaroni and cheese and candy yams, you know, some Thanksgiving tryouts. I just wanted to see what it was about. I did that. And they both came out pretty good. The yams came out bananas. The yams came out crazy. Okay. Baked macaroni and cheese.
So you had a really grandma level fucking with this shit right now.
I'm on my way. Like I said on the show, I think I got a green belt at this point. I ain't all the way grandma level, but I'm trying. But I got some fire leftovers. You got fire leftovers. It's like having money in the bank. You know what I mean? Because you got something to come home to. So I did that shit. But I've been definitely doing that. Heavy on these walks. Picking up the camera some more. Trying to get my photography, you know, back in there. you know, like when I'm out, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, cause I'm not really engaging with nobody. So I'm just shooting shit. And, yeah, I was doing that, man. But, that was it for the most part. Trying to read a little bit, but go ahead. What are you about to say?
Now, so you're really digging into this life away from the people.
Yeah, man. You know, I'll be honest with you. And it's funny. I think I almost put this in my bio prior to COVID, but I've always been a bit of a recluse. Like, I wasn't a pro recluse, but I could be recreate. Like, I'll go out in the world and get it in and, you know, do the shows and, you know, talk the shit, whatever, whatever. But if I'm at the crib, and you know what I mean, and you know, the Wi-Fi is hitting and the TV is streaming and shit like that. I got my little creature comforts. Mm-hmm. I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? Especially, yeah, like, it's not the worst thing. I will say, though, I think I told you, I've been throughout this whole pandemic, mm-hmm. I've been trying to journal. I don't get it every day because some days I just forget, but I've been, you know, trying to just journal. But I feel like my mojo is coming back. For a while, I wasn't super creatively inspired. You know, like I was, as I said before, I was trying to cultivate some inspiration and study some new shit or whatever. But like, I haven't really been struck by an idea that, you know, when you get them ideas, you're like, ooh, you know, them type of moments. I haven't had one of those in a good minute. And I said to myself, I've had a couple, I don't want to call them full on epiphanies, but just moments of reflection where I'm like, you know, because I still pay attention to the internet. You know me, I watch the internet and I'm still a lurker. You know what I mean? So I'm out there paying attention to some of the content, some good shit out there, and, you know, all the good, bad, and in between. Mm-hmm. But there's this conflicted feeling where you're like, damn, man, I got to do something. I got to get back out there. I got to get my shit off. This mm-hmm. is what they doing. Damn, is that what's winning? But then I had to be like, yo, I got to tap back into my own shit. Cause that's your voice. That's who you are. Like, you know, yeah, it's cool to be inspired by other motherfuckers and all of that shit, but you can't chase nobody else's shit. You can't do what they do like they do because that's them. Mm-hmm. You got to do you, and you got to trust you, and you got to do you just off the strength of you connect to it. You know what I mean? Outside of all the algorithm and all of that other shit, like, you got to be like, all right, I fuck with this. I'm going to put this in the world because I fuck with it. If this shit get 3 likes or get 3,000 likes, mm-hmm. it is what it is, because that outside shit, that don't really matter. That's not what defines the process. The process is staying true to your vision and executing on it. So I've been trying to, like, really focus, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and focus on what I'm focused on. You know what I'm saying? Because you could pay attention to the wrong shit, and they could mm-hmm. have you on some other shit. So, you know, it ain't been super transformative yet, but I'm like, I'm really just trying to lock in and trying to program my own shit, you know, rather than looking around to see what other people's doing. And then also, like, just my own little day to day. Like, I wanna read more. I've been saying that for a while. I got a couple books. I've been getting through a few books. Not all the way to the end on these books, but I'm close. Mm-hmm. I'm getting closer. I think I'm gonna finish a few books. But like, just
anything you want to share?
I think I shared one, or maybe I just told you. There's How to Be an Artist by mm-hmm. Jerry Saltz. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really good book if you're a creative. And you need some motivation, or you need, you know, just a different way of looking at certain shit. That's pretty good.
What was one of the things you took from that book?
What did I take from that book? Damn, you put me on the spot because I'm trying to read a few. But let me. No. Let me think about what I took. And this paraphrase it because I don't have the book in front of me. Mm-hmm. But basically, one thing that I remember is, and I've heard this before, but I want to say it was in the book, but like, you know, people's response to your art is not your business. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you were creating it, that was your time. That's what mm-hmm. your time was. But when you submit it to the world, not to say that it's not yours no more, but whatever they do with it is whatever they do with it. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, so there's that. That's one thing. Also, and again, like, this is paraphrasing. This is just kind of what I remember. But, like, you got to do some bullshit to find your signature. You know what I'm saying? Like, your shit ain't going to come out perfect at the beginning. Like, you got to, and the bullshit, funny enough, the bullshit can become your signature. Mm. Not to say that, you know, like, you just known for some bullshit, but that you don't, again, you don't realize how what you do impacts others and how they respond to it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's still an interpretation of whatever creative expression. It's your expression in that moment.
Is Miles Davis had a quote, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't know the specific quote, but Miles Davis had a quote that said, it takes a long time to play like yourself. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you're going to play this instrument and you're going to play what you learned first and then you're going to play how other people play. But then at a certain point, all of those influences wrapped up will eventually turn into your signature, as you said. You know what I'm saying? And then it will be you, you know?
Right, right.
So, you know, don't fall short when you feel like you're not all the way original. You still, you know, taking bits and pieces from here and there. That's just part of the process.
Yeah, and there was something like that in that book too. They talk about a lot of that type of thing too. And also, sometimes the validation could stunt your growth. You know what I'm saying? Hold on.
You gotta let that sit. That's a word.
Let it sit.
Say that shit one more time for us.
Sometimes the validation. Yeah, for the people in the back with the bad headphones that got the short in it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the validation could stunt your growth.
Ooh, you know, break that shit down.
Cause you hear the claps and you think you finished. You feel like okay, you know what I mean. I remember that when I first started doing comedy, I would have like, you know, if I was to be honest about it, I would have like cool premises. You know what I'm saying? Maybe with a punch. You know what I'm saying? But I would get off stage. You know, they would get laughs and shit. I get off stage and certain comics be like, "Yo, I like that shit that you was doing, man. You should really expand that." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nigga, expand it. That was it. I got the laugh. What are you talking about?
Right. And did you see the crowd, nigga?
Right. You ain't hear them niggas laugh? That was it. And sometimes you realize it. Like, you know, like it takes sometimes, you know, the longer you go, you know, the longer you take on and the longer you go without the validation, oftentimes that shit is even better when you get it. It's hard. You know, what's hard earned is, you know, the reward is a little greater. So, you know, shit like that, man. Just trying to tap in. Sound like Sweetie. Tap, 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 tap in. Sweetie. Shout out to the Jasmine Sisters. Shout out to TikTok that got me fucking with the Jasmine Sisters.
Who that?
They got that. They got this record called, I think it's called You. And you've probably seen it in one of these little reels or TikTok videos where they flip I Get So Weak and it'd be like I gotta find the shit, but hold on a second, I gotta find it because they use it. TikTok is definitely, you know, I've heard people say a lot of people are breaking records via TikTok, and and I'm not even on TikTok. I feel like TikTok is on me. But every time I turn around, I'm like, oh shit, there you go. But they flipped the SWV Weak shit. It's like, you know, these cats do it all funny shit with it. And it's just one of those things. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, where's that? Like, there's a couple records. Just like, I know I'm late, but the Hip Hop Harry shit.
Right.
You know that shit. Go, 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 go. Who's go. Next?
Yeah, that shit is. That shit is.
Yeah, that shit. That shit catchy as fuck.
That shit be jamming.
Oh, man, man. Yeah, so shout out to everybody that, that got that TikTok choreography going. Oh, shit, man. What else is going on, dog? Whew. Speaking of power walking,
we reading books.
And reading books out here, man. You been reading anything? Finished,
huh?
I'm not finished yet, but I'm gonna get through them.
I haven't been really reading anything. I really been more so taking a lot of deeper looks inside, and you know, checking out these I can't call them YouTube schools, but they classes that you know you got these new gurus out here. That, you know what I'm saying? I'm kind of taking a couple of courses with some young gurus of the digital age. And
who you want to shout them out?
I shouted them out before at the New Earth Mystery School. Marian Hansa, I think is her name. And then of course I'm still on my health and spiritual journey with Allah Care. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So digging back in that, because I fell off, you know what I'm saying? Because when I took her course, right? So her course, you remember me talking about it before, and I was calling it a healthy eating course because that's what the fuck I thought it was. You know what I'm saying? But when you got into it, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking for the menus. I'm looking for the recipes and the grocery list. And it wasn't that, you know what I'm saying? Before you even get to all that, you got to come in there and share in the class and, you know what I'm saying? And write your life story in your journal. And it was a whole lot of real fucking shit to do, like spiritual shit that I hadn't done, you know what I mean? So, so you know, you got people in there that's really dealing with different issues that they're trying to reverse or, you know what I'm saying, shore up. And I really wasn't in that space at that time. So I was kind of like, damn, well, when are we going to get to the cooking? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was not ready for that work. I wasn't ready to be looking deeply at the, you know what I'm saying, generational trauma of things that, you know what I'm saying, got me eating the way I eat. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, that's what we got to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a lot of unpacking.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I felt like in third grade when they call on the kid that can't read, you know what I'm saying? You sitting there like, you trying to do whatever the fuck you can to get out of getting called. So, mother say, crack the books open, you start sweating. All right, we're going to open up to chapter 2. You know, okay, Johnny, take the first paragraph, and then Johnny can read real good. And Sarah, you take the next one. Sarah is killing that shit, and you sweating bullets hoping they don't call you. So instead of waiting around for your name to get called, you jump up and swing on somebody. Blah! You know what I'm saying?
Like, what? Yeah.
Get sent
to
the office so you ain't got to deal with it. That's how I felt. You know what I'm saying? Right. But I ain't had nobody swing on. So I'm just stuck. Like, shit. You know what I'm saying? So I had to step back from it. And then I did the New Earth Mystery School shit with the timeline jumping and shit. I tell you about that.
Yeah, you like that shit.
Yeah, and once I was able to discover certain things that I could, you know, change about myself, it left more room. You know what I'm saying? I was more open to I could take in more because I'm not fighting myself on certain things. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Sometimes you be fighting yourself, so you can't even really take in nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Because you going through your own shit where, you know, well, nigga, if you did this, then, you know, or you might have failed at something and you still beating yourself up about the shit. Motherfucker, told your ass not to turn right, nigga, not look at you. You know what I'm saying? You doing all that shit on your own self, so you can't really take in no new information. But when you stop doing that, it just leaves a lot of room open for you to take in information. So I looked at Allah Care's class a lot differently. I'm like, oh, now I see what the fuck she was talking about with all this quantum talk and this spiritual shit. You know what I mean? There's a lot of, you know what I mean? Mystery shit going on. So I was ready for it. So now I got back into that. Now I see it from a whole different lens. So I'm doing that. So I'm not really reading that much. But I do have the book Joy by Osho that's sitting on my counter that I open up and take a few pages in the morning. You know what I mean? And then put it back down. You know, but I ain't actively reading it because I could have been finished the shit if I was reading. But
what, what's that about?
Joy is about all the rest of this shit. It's like, it's about finding real happiness when you're in yourself. And happiness not as like a constant state of happiness, just, you know what I'm saying, from being able to be easy on yourself and in your life and look at things from a place of where you're coming from and not necessarily always where you got to be, you know? Just looking at things from a different perspective and being able to be good with yourself.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, that's the biggest mystery we all going to have to solve or not in this life is our own shit. We can't change nobody else. And with the timeline jump shit, I've realized shit. All the things that I wanted to change by other people really was shit that it was projecting from me that they was kind of reacting to. So when I changed myself, I basically changed how people respond to me, which essentially sometimes corrects the behaviors you thought you wanted to change, but you ain't changing them. You changing yourself and you changing their response to you. So that's some shit that I learned. And, you know, Joy is a book that I'm reading that I'm not finished.
Yeah, man. It's interesting to that point. Like, yeah, finding joy in the present, you know, or, you know, like what you feel is success. You know, sometimes you got to be careful about that shit. You know, I was just having a conversation about, you know, life is finite, right? At some point we're going to die. And especially when it's like a stop down like this, found myself thinking about when I get back to living, you know, not even that, but when you get back out there or whatever, you start to, it was always the anxiety of, am I living my life to the fullest? Right. And that depends. That's like, well, what are you gauging that by? You know what I mean? Like, what are your markers? What's the markers of success? What is this? I was, you know, are you looking for validation from people outside of you? Because that shit ain't going to mean nothing if you don't fuck with yourself, right? Or if you got anxiety about yourself or you got doubts about your ability or your impact or whatever that might plague you, and you look at other people who you deem successful and you might try to draw strength from whatever they say, right? So I'll give you a perfect example. And it's funny because I'll have conversations, you know, homie of mine, and he's like, why is that? Like, I'm a big Chris Rock fan. That's like one of my favorite comedians, right? And, you know, I think Eddie's my favorite. Eddie's the guy that made me want to do the shit. But, like, Chris was, you know, Bring the Pain was fucking brilliant. You know what I'm saying? And I remember driving to Atlanta that same trip where I was in that hot-ass leather. But we were driving from New York to Atlanta. And my brother-in-law and my sister, and, you know, they was quoting Bring the Pain. Like, that shit was the Bible. You know what I mean? Just talking about all of the shit. You know, that shit, like, really impacted the culture. You know what I'm saying? And so I looked at him as that guy, you know? And Chris Rock and Seinfeld, you know, specifically the two of them, they have a way of talking about comedy like it's some... like it's kung fu. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like these, like this dogma that they present. Because, you know, to most people, they're so fully realized, they're so successful in the space that they are, you know, they are experts. Or at least that's how you look at them. You know what I mean? They're well beyond success. Like they've got it. They did their shit, right? And so Chris Rock had a couple,
you know, because he's going to be in Fargo, which starts next week in season 4. He's playing like a mob boss. Fargo is my shit. I don't know if you fuck with it, but Fargo, the TV show, is one of the best TV shows in the game. So they're coming back with season 4. And the thing about Fargo is, if you didn't see season 1, you can watch season 2 because they're not connected. It's a whole new storyline.
Right.
So this one, he's playing like a he's playing like a mob boss or whatever. And I guess it's like a dramatic turn, so it should be interesting. But so he's doing his press runs and shit, and it's either the, you know, there's a lot of shit that was coming out, like in the Hollywood Reporter, he found out, like, he got tested for Asperger's and found out he had some type of, like, nonverbal learning deficiency or something like that that kind of was fucking him up. But I think this was in the New York Times article. They said, Rock reflects on those early years through a different lens now. He said, quote, I had this great combination of big ego and low self-esteem, he says. And the ego gets you on stage, but the low self-esteem is the thing that makes you practice so much because you don't believe in yourself at all. You think you're a total fucking fraud, and you don't think anybody could love you for being you, so you have to be good at this thing. Mm-hmm. And it was deep because you looking at somebody like that, like they got it all the way figured out, and you find out they struggling just like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's interesting because I think, you know, like especially in the black community, and not even just in the black community, but just in culture, you know, there's always been the persona of the unflappable. You know what I'm saying? Like the motherfucker that just got it. Like they cool as a fan at all times and shit like that. They ain't got no worries. And if you grow up believing that shit is real, you know what I mean? Like you could drive yourself crazy because you like, yo, how the fuck? Why am I worrying? You know what I mean? Like what the fuck? What am I doing different? Right. And it's just interesting. Yeah.
That's
Jay-Z. Yeah, and that is Jay-Z.
And then when you see him in an interview where he got to come off the cuff, you realize, wow, he ain't got it all figured out. The emperor has no clothes. He regular than a motherfucker. He just like
sounded
us.
Like Woody Allen and shit in the baritone.
Right, he get caught up in a situation where he might be not telling the whole truth and shit, and he you know what I'm saying, he get these little things just like a kid would have sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like damn.
Not Iceberg Slim.
It ain't funny.
Yeah,
because you know I relate a lot to it. You know what I'm saying? Because I think I try to come off as cool as a fan, but you know what I'm saying. I know how I feel on the inside sometimes when I come across certain situations. But you know, one thing you learn about life though over time is that, like me, I'm not afraid to fail no more. You know what I'm saying? I used to be afraid to fail. So you do all these things to not fail, but then you don't be doing shit sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You don't be failing, but you don't be making no progress either. So so in this new incarnation of myself, it's like once you discover where you fall short at, you know what I'm saying, that you didn't really know, and then you start seeing it at every, you start being, you start facing it everywhere you go like an obstacle course. God damn, we doing this again right here, out here in front of everybody like this. And but at this point, I'm not afraid of that no more. I know, because, you know what I'm saying, it's been coming so fast and furious that it's like, you know, all right, I know it's going to be another lesson right around the corner. So, all right, let's just deal with it and keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, bam, there it is. And then it's like, oh, shit, I might have failed that lesson. But, okay, it's all good. Shit, I know now, God damn it, that shit ain't going to happen to me no more, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you can move on to the next one.
Right. Or if it does happen to you, if you got the presence of mind to realize that this has happened before and you got through it, you could get through that shit again. You know what I'm saying? Like, man. Yeah, man. That's deep. somebody listening like, that shit ain't deep.
That little bullshit. Everybody know that shit.
Get the fuck out of here, nigga.
Motherfucking old fake ass deep nigga. Shallow as a puddle.
Exactly. Shit, I can't even drown in that knowledge, nigga. Old fake ass guru niggas. Oh, shit, man. Yo, I was trying to make the trip. You know, everybody on some guru shit. But
nobody said nobody was no guru.
No, I'm not saying that we saying
no,
that.
No,
but
I
know, you
know. I know. I'm just saying.
Ain't nah niggas, man. Shit. And nah niggas. And we'll make it out there broad. I tried to make the transition a while ago, going from the power walking to power book two, but it didn't, that crossover didn't all the way cross over.
Yeah, we tried it because I was like, you know what I'm saying, speaking about a book you didn't finish reading.
Right. Book two, nigga, what you talking about? You ain't get done book one. Nah, man. So you up to date on Power now, right?
I'm up to date, man.
Ah, shit. So we could let's talk about it, man. Let's go. You know, the people want to hear this shit. Are you fucking with? I don't know. I mean, it might be asking too much. Are you fucking with Lovecraft Country yet or nah? Not yet.
I'm about to start that now. My wife is on it. My kids on it. But again, I ain't home, so I haven't checked it out. I'm caught up on Power, so I could get caught up on Lovecraft. So when I'm home, I could just watch it, you know what I'm saying, with my wife. So
yeah, that's dope.
By the time we come back here, I'll be all the way up on it.
You'll be abreast. I could dig it, man.
Yeah.
What you thinking? What's your thoughts on Power Book 2? Well, shout out to Power Book 2. I don't know if this is what you was waiting for before you really got all the way caught up, but you know they just got renewed for a second season. So Book 2 got their renewal, season so they will two. Be back. It's book okay. two, season two. Yeah. How you feeling about it? What you thinking? I'm all in. Let's talk.
Well, you know what I'm saying? It's quality black entertainment, for sure. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a continuation. You know, I'm enjoying it. I'm entertained. But I do recognize the void that is left by an actor like Omari Hardwick. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Because now that you see some of these same characters without him in the center, and then you realize how good of an actor that nigga was, man. You know what I'm saying?
He'll miss you till you're gone.
Like the nigga really carried these scenes, you know what I'm saying? Because like you see, like now when you see Simon Stern and shit.
Right.
He look like a feeble old man now. You know what I'm saying? He don't have no juice, like, you know what I'm saying? Like when he was standing next to Ghost and going back and forth with Ghost, it was a thing. But now you see him, you're like, this nigga, he's just out here talking shit. But you know what I'm saying? I'd say all that to say to give props to Omari Hardwick, and I could recognize how much he held that shit down, you know what I mean? So moving on, you know what I'm saying? Old Tyreek is who he's always been. You know what I'm saying? He holding it down in his way and doing that Tyreek shit that he do, little sneaky, badass little motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I like the setup, you know what I'm saying? I can't wait for it to get to the real action. But I like the setup, how they setting it up. I like Mary in the role that she's playing. I feel like it has a lot of room to grow as far as her acting. You know what I'm saying? I feel like she could playing that role, she can take her acting to give it another stage. You know what I'm saying? Give it another depth to her rapport. As they would say. You know what I'm saying? That's just my little general over top view shit. But if we get down to it, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you know, you come into the shit. Good to see that the baby got some motherfucking lines and shit. That she's a full formed person and not some figment of a imagination.
Right.
The little sister. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know who she was at first. I was like, yo, who the fuck, who is this shorty? I was like, oh, right, they do have a little, they got a little one. I forgot all about that shit. Yeah, I was like, who's
missing
shorty?
In action.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? But this is just the trip shit, though. Like, all this shit, this nigga ain't even in the ground yet. You know what I'm saying? This done been a whole hiatus. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We in episode 3 of a whole new series, and this nigga still ain't in the ground.
They ain't buried him yet. Just in case. Just in case they need some shit. Yeah, they gotta keep him on ice. Yeah, man. That's funny.
Like, this is the longest 2 weeks in the history of TV.
Right. This man has started college and a whole bunch of other shit can happen.
Finessed his way into college. I don't even know how the basketball nigga is on academic probation the first week of school.
Right.
What the fuck kind of dumb shit you doing?
That shit must have rolled over from high school.
You know what I'm saying?
That shit is wild. Yeah.
So the continuity there is a little bit off because, as we know, basketball season ain't till the spring, for real, for real.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? Him starting school, unless he started school in the middle, in second semester. Maybe that's what we supposed to believe. Maybe that's what it's supposed to be. That he's jumping in second semester. But I don't know. But anyway. I see the setup, though. I see how they setting it all up. You know what I'm saying? You got the married son is like the new Tommy. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Wild cowboy,
unpredictable. You got the whole black and Puerto Rican thing going that you have with Ghost and Angela, now with Mary J and her guys. You know what I'm saying? So you got that. You keep that Latinx community involved with the story. You know what I'm saying? You got who else you got? You got Tyreek being his version of Ghost, and and he starting to put his network together and his slickness. You know, so I see what they got going, you know what I'm saying? See what they got going. I like where they going with it, you know what I mean? I'm in. What's your thoughts?
A lot of shit, man. I got a lot of thoughts about this shit. well, there's a lot of different things. Well, first off, I'm going to say, I like the wardrobe on this shit. I like everybody fresh.
They fresher
than Last Power. They got it.
They in touch. They in tune with what's going on. They trying to make it real authentic with what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Balenciaga this, cashmere that, you know.
Mary and all that. Man, I'm seeing them. I like that. It's not as just obscure and tailored as it once was. Like, this is definitely a little bit more on trend and maybe pushing the envelope a little bit at everybody's style. Well, so I like that. That's just some real surface type shit. I liked, if I'm going back, I'm just gonna just think about it all. Like, I like one thing I did appreciate on the first episode. I appreciated that house party. That, and I think they in Queens. It felt like a very Queens-like house party, you know, go through the house to get to the backyard type of shit. Like, you know, was popping the energy of when you come in, when you the man, you come in, hey, how he handled it. Zeke was the, you know what I mean? Pounding everybody, giving everybody, yo, what's coming? They getting the well-received and shit. They set the tone pretty good with him. I'm liking Mary. Mary thawing out a little bit. Mary was, you know, moments where she could be a little stiff. I don't even know if it's that she's stiff. It's just that she's Mary. You know what I mean? And like, Mary is such an icon that it's hard to see her as anything beyond Mary J. Blige. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, oh, shit, look at Mary. Here come Mary coming in. Like, I don't even know Mary's Mona. Is it Mona or Monet? Monet, that's her name on the joint? I think it's Monet.
Yeah, Monet.
Yeah, but I'm like, oh, look at Mary coming in. About to, and you know, she got like a Mary J. Blige type of leather on. You know what I mean? Yeah, so you're okay, here come Mary. Yeah. But
Mary is quintessential hood. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I just want to bring, I, you know, what I see again. Mm-hmm. I love it, the setup. You know what I'm saying? I just want to see her bring some of that intensity, you know what I'm saying, right, that she bring to music, to
right,
to acting. Because, you know, a lot of her roles be kind of, like you said, quiet Mary, subdued Mary, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to bring that hood intensity out because the role calls for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you a mm-hmm. boss. You the boss running shit, and everybody is bound down. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the reason why.
Yeah. She getting there. There's some scenes mm-hmm. where she's getting that off and, like, how she's masterminding. And, you know, there's that back to the Latinx, you know, integration. You know, mm-hmm. her husband, who's in the joint, you know, he's Latino. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And his tattoos for a jail nigga is a little sparse. He got, like, a real small tattoo on his chest that just kind of look at it funny. Like, come on, man. What was going on? You don't look like no killer with that little ass spider web. I mean, that shit, wait till you see it again. That spider web look a little too small. Like, it looked like it should be some other shit going on.
Yeah, but to be fair.
Go ahead, be fair.
A lot of killer niggas are very sparse in their tattoo game. You know what I'm saying? They not really thinking about the
mean
art.
Shit.
It ain't about right. the art around here. You know what I'm saying? It's about
a good point.
Putting in that work. So, a lot of, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
those types of cats that I've come across rarely have, you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
That aesthetic of, I'm about to, you know, I'm about to get my shit, my whole sleeve. You know, now you got cats who got it, whatever, I guess. But, you know, the cats I've run across in real life, they be very, you know what I'm saying, regular with that
like, shit. Like a sailor. Yeah, I can think of it. So, what else am I fucking with? I will say this, a couple things. I like Jailhouse Tasha. You know what I mean? I like Jailhouse Tasha. I thought it would be a little bit limited, but I like her. She's a little cagey. You know what I mean? I like Jailhouse Tasha. Method Man is Johnny Cochran is interesting. You know what I'm saying? He getting his shit off. What else?
The black lady lawyer who got fired from
Tamika, I think her name is. Nigga.
But she is Martin Luther King attorney over that motherfucker.
Why you call her that? Why you say that?
Her cadence. Tasha St. Patrick.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, she was ready for Tasha on that cross examination in that last episode. She had beef.
Yeah.
It was like a fucking smack battle.
Yeah, I thought they was playing Method Man because, you know, she be working with old boy with Saxon. So
mm-hmm.
so I thought they was playing him, but he was up on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was up on it.
So that was cool. I'm concerned about, you know, and I'm trying not to judge him based on Power Book Zero, but is it Power Book Zero, Power Book One? I'm concerned about Tariq's multitasking. You know what I'm saying? Tariq has disappointed me in the past, and he got a lot of shit on his plate, Bob. He got school for another motherfucker. Now, you know, he trying to move drugs. He trying to get his moms out of prison. He trying to pass, you know, like, he, you know, it's a lot.
Hey,
and
he putting it together. But his daddy had a whole lot on his plate, too. This nigga is running for office, got to kill some mm-hmm. niggas, got to move some drugs,
right,
got to get the, you know what I'm saying, kill the plug in jail. You know what I'm saying?
This is his redemption season, though. Because, Tariq. Because, you know, Tariq, this is his redemption season. Because there was times in Last Power where you found yourself upset at this motherfucker. Like, come on, fam.
I think that's the whole basis of this role. It's like, we were supposed to be upset with him. And
mm-hmm.
for good mm-hmm. reason, like, you know what I'm saying? And coming into this part of the story where you could understand where he came from and... You know, it takes a badass kid to do this kind of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it's still a hard way to come to like him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the way that it's written is written knowing that you motherfuckers don't like him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you gonna respect them and you're going to get to know them. You know what I mean? I think that's where we at with it. And I think once we start getting to the action, then it's like it's just like when he's talking about the books and shit. And he's talking about the killers in the book. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he has the the reason now to weigh that against himself. You know what I'm saying? So in explaining Socrates and in explaining the other book, you're actually learning about him and Ghost. And why, you know what I'm saying, why he is the way he is and how they think, you know? So it was interesting, like, when Stern was telling them about the book and saying that's why, that's for Pope people, you know what I'm saying? That take their morals above their ambition, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to keeping it in the either weighed the same or, you know what I'm saying, taking your ambition first, you know what I'm saying? So I think what Tyreek is trying to do is weigh that out and balance it where where Ghost's ambitions got him killed. You see what I'm saying? So I think through those books, I think that they taking the play off the title and including the books into the script for you to be able to understand Tyreek and who he is and who he's becoming. So I think he gonna hit that corner and we gonna understand him because, you know, the way that he's looking at it, it feels like he's gonna balance the two, even though it looked like he got a lot going on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes them classroom scenes seem a little heavy-handed. It seems just a little too well designed for, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's see, cool. The thing about it is, you know what I'm saying? I understand that part of it, you know, in that.
You got to spell it out.
Yeah, because you have to get to understand what they're trying to do is get us into Tyreek's mind. We never was in his mind. We were just saw this whole stupid ass shit he did, you know what I'm saying? And blamed it on his daddy, you know what I mean? And like my wife say, well, you know, his daddy did fuck him up. I'm like, well, damn, his daddy was trying to take care of him the best, you know what I'm saying? He had all the best shit in the world. Well, he blew up his family for some pussy.
That's the summation of the whole shit.
I was like, well, damn, it wasn't really about, no, you know what I'm saying, just the sex. The nigga was all the way in love with Angela, you know what I'm saying? Yes, he did blow up his spot and his family and all that shit, but it wasn't just about the pussy. And then she was like, don't be trying to explain that for him. I was like,
what side are you on?
You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm not trying to explain it. I'm just saying that it was a little more depth to what he was feeling. You know what I'm saying? And and with that situation, it wasn't even necessarily that it was, he was just so in love. It was that he was feeling like no one in this world wanted him to be the person that he wanted to be, his vision. Nobody saw the vision because they all wanted him to stay who he was because it benefited them for him to stay who he was.
Except Angela, who saw him when he had potential back in the day.
The last time she saw him, he was the guy with potential. And now he's realized that. And he's trying to live in that moment of realization and actualization when everybody's trying to keep him in his, you know what I'm saying, in the stage where he used to be. You know what I'm saying? You want to hear the old Nas, you need to go listen to the Clue tapes. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted to keep him there and he wanted to be somewhere else. So I think the manifestation of that relationship was because of those factors. But you know what I'm saying? But when people look at it, it's like, oh, he just threw his whole shit away for some pussy.
Look at him.
Look at him, stupid ass knuckle.
That's what you get. That's what you get. Yeah, man. I think there's going to be this interesting dynamic between Kane and Drew. You know, the two brothers, the one wild card brother, and then the low key brother that that, you know, nobody really believes is that gangster. And then we're going to find out he's going to be that motherfucker.
Yeah, because he was ready to do what he was going to do now.
Yeah, he was there. Like, he wasn't there to play.
He had his hand on the pistol now. He was just waiting out the time. You know what I'm saying? The brother came through with the wild shit. But niggas got right when his brother came through, though.
yeah, they understood because they know he's one to let off.
Right,
he's let off. He done killed a few people. He got some bodies under his you know under his Montclair hood.
Right.
So
they the Cain and Abel from Power Book Two.
Right. There you go. Then you got what Diana, who's the young sister, who it threw me for a loop that she wanted to go pro. She wanted to go to the WNBA. That kind of threw me because I don't get basketball player from her, but you know,
Nick,
I like her.
Did you see the basketball team that was supposed to be the basketball players?
I didn't really all the way pay attention.
I had to take a screenshot of these niggas. It was not one muscle in the room. You know what I'm saying? You had one nigga with his shit all jacked up, his pants pulled to his navel. I took a shot of that shit. I'm gonna send it. You could post it. That shit looked crazy, man.
That's too funny. Oh man, I didn't even pay attention. I caught the little beef with him and you know the white boy that was taking his spot.
Right.
I caught that. I think for Mary to be such a queen pin, I think that her fucking with the cop that be showing up in full uniform, that shit is just a little flagrant. Like that is the furthest from discreet that you could get. Like this nigga ain't in plain clothes.
You don't know what happens when, you know what I'm saying,
cops show up.
Nigga, you know what I'm saying, when it's dick and pussy and, you know what I'm saying, nigga ain't been in jail for a decade or whatever.
Right.
You know, she probably was using them, had them on the payroll for information, then, you know, he kinda cute. I'm going to give him some Just Cause dick, and then, you know.
Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah, so there's that. I'm trying to think what else. And then, you know, the teachers, you got Professor Jerry Springer, you got Cotty Dodd, you got Professor Duke Box, you know what I mean, who was smashing. Right. Smash, you know what I mean?
Wait. Hold on. What you call this nigga?
Called the Professor Duke Box. He looked like one of
the
niggas
Duke
that
put in your hair.
Yeah, a little S curl box cat. Like he kinda got that swag a little bit. No shit. I mean killing him. But that nigga is loose as fuck. This nigga fucking all in the fucking spot with them thin ass walls, like with abandoned, like not a, you know.
See, that was the funny part about them walls, right? Because at first, when she first walked in there, you couldn't hear all the shit. You hear the lumps, but then as soon as he get to doing what he was doing, now all of a sudden you hear every moan and groan. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, that shit was funny. Like it was wired. You know what I mean? Like
he tried not to.
He tried to restrain, but he said, "Yo, Lord," he saw that opportunity walking out the door. He was like, "Hold on, I got a fan. Let me go ahead and sign this autograph.
I do wanna hit that."
Right.
But I shouldn't.
You know what I'm saying? You said you like the book raw? All right, well shit. Let me hit this raw real fast. She said, "I'm an adult now, I'm a grad student." He said, all right, well, shit, happy graduation. So there's that. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that. Yeah, some of them little, what you call the scenes, you know. And then I also caught on by the third episode. I totally forgot. But the third episode, I let it run a little bit. And, you know, Courtney's after talks are still on there.
Oh,
so I watched all three of them to catch back up. You know what I mean? and it's always good to, you know, to hear her summation of what we saw.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that was pretty good. But I'm trying to think what else I had. I got that. Oh, I mean, I get it. I guess it's everybody out here hustling. But for it to be 2020, there is a lot of flip phone action going on this season. I mean,
it's supposed to be burners. That's real hustle shit.
I saw the family burner. I like that. She said, where's the family burner? You got your own burner.
Extra, but they ain't even had no flip phone. They had a smartphone burner.
Yeah. But even people outside of, I guess everybody that's hustling got a burner. I guess that's what's going on. But it just, it felt like it, the burners was, the flip phones was all over the place. But there that go. What else? I think I will say that the classroom scenes make me, it reiterates the fact that I need to read more. especially when they tan through them books. They are tan through. Did you read the book? No, I ain't finished it. They tan through them shits. I was like, I need to read a little bit more, and I need to get some art because there's some nice art in this season.
Oh, where?
But couple pieces here and there I peeped. I think I'm trying to think where I see the good art at. I forget. Maybe at Monet's house somewhere. But there's a couple like pieces. I'm like, okay. But overall, man, I'm all in, man. They had me since week one. You know, it's the same old, but it's that good familiar, you know? Mm-hmm. So they say it's a big, rich town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with it. shit. Anything else you want to touch on before we transform?
Oh, man, I think we did that.
I think so, too, man. You want to tell the people anything or that's it?
Ah, man, you know, as usual, you know what I'm saying? Appreciate you for checking in with us. You know what I'm saying? We'll be right here next week, same time, same place. You know what I'm saying? Keep us locked. Check me out at Mr. Muhammad on Instagram, Mr. Muhammad at Twitter. And, yeah, shit, you know, doing what we do out here.
There you go, man. Yeah, man, that's it. That's it. Rest in peace, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know. Shout out to Regina King. Took an Emmy home. Zendaya took an Emmy home. A few other people that I can't think of. Eddie, Dave Chappelle, they took Emmys home, so salute to them. You know,
that's what's up.
And all the Emmy winners of the culture. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.